Hello everyone, this is Deidre Stats. I'm filling in for Corinne Zopko, who is just finishing up a 2-week silent, or 9-day silent retreat rather. And so she will be back facilitating the Sunday night call next week, and we look forward to hearing all about her adventures, sharing with her silent meditation. And I know she would have had an awesome time. So I'm looking forward to hearing about that. And we're going to be picking up where we left up last week. But before we do any of that, I just would like to drop into Holy Spirit, just allowing ourselves to just let anything of the day just fall away. Placing the entire call in the hands of Spirit. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. And we will be reading from the section entitled Littleness versus Magnitude. And it's on page 353 in the Sparkle edition. And I believe I had someone give me the page number for the FIP edition last week, and I wrote it down. It's page 306. So if anyone's using the FIP edition, that's the page number I have. Please let me know if there's any discrepancy with that, because I don't have that edition in front of me, and I actually don't have the original edition myself. So
you're right, Deidre. It is page 306. This is
okay.
Carol.
Thank you, Carol. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
So unfortunately, I don't have the original edition. So if anyone has the original edition and is stuck for the page number, let me know and we'll give you a chance to find the corresponding section. But otherwise, we will go forward. So, littleness versus magnitude. Be not content with littleness, but be sure you understand what littleness is, and why you can never be content with it. Littleness is the offering you gave yourself. You offered this in place of magnitude, and you accepted it. Everything in the world is little because it is a world made out of littleness. In the strange belief that littleness can content you, when you strive for anything in this world with the belief that it will bring you peace, you are belittling yourself and blinding yourself to the glory. Littleness and glory are the choices open to you, to your striving and your vigilance. You will always choose one at the expense of the other. Yet, when you do not realize each time you choose is that your choice is the evaluation of yourself. Choose littleness and you will not have peace, for you will have judged yourself unworthy of it. And whatever you offer as a substitute is much too poor a gift to satisfy you. It is essential that you accept the fact and accept it gladly, that there is no form of littleness that can ever content you. You are free to try as many as you wish, but all you are doing is to delay your homecoming, for you will be content only in magnitude, which is your home. And I'm going to pause there for a moment. For me, I was particularly struck with two things in the first paragraph. So, littleness is an offering that you gave yourself. You offered this in the place of magnitude, and you accepted it. So once again, the Course is being very direct and basically letting us know that we can choose again at any time. It's a moment-to-moment vigilant choice that we're making. And then at the end of the paragraph, it says, littleness and glory are the choices open to you, striving for vigilance. You will always choose one at the expense of the other. And this makes me think of the other passage in the Course where it says, it's talking about love and fear and only one of those things being true. So really, there is only one choice to be made. And so when we're choosing littleness, it's only because we're seeing with mistaken perception. Does anything come up for you?
Say that again. When we're accepting littleness, it's only because what?
We're accepting mistaken perception because there is only love. So when we're seeing littleness, we're not seeing the truth with what Jesus calls correct perception.
Wow. And we're fearful.
Yeah.
Littleness, really. I mean, that love and fear. You just brought that up. It's the difference between littleness and glory.
Right. And actually,
That's a great analogy. That's a great way of putting it. Because I was like getting a little. Because I take everything so literally. I'm trying to think of some literal interpretation of this. But love and fear is it.
Well, and really, it's only love, right? Because we think there's a choice between love and fear, but there's only love because the other thing is canceled out by spirit, because spirit only recognizes what is true, so the false must fall away.
Sometimes it's challenging to, you know, really believe this.
Yeah, that's...
Because there's really never anything to fear. If there's only love, there's really never anything to fear.
Really, exactly.
And you know what's very interesting? That's true. And what's very interesting to me is the fact that it says that when you strive for anything in this world in the belief that it will bring you peace, you are belittling yourself. So it says anything in this world. So striving for anything that this world offers, and basically most of the things that we're striving for, there are things in the world and we're thinking that they can bring us peace. And then also in the second paragraph, choose littleness and you will not have peace. You just won't have it.
I think those two points that you just made, Mick, are awesome because, again, it's really reiterating there is only one choice.
Right.
There's not two choices, because if we don't feel peace,
right,
then we know where we're located.
Yeah.
We know which voice we're listening to, and it's not the love voice.
And the peace that we do experience is the manifestation that we have not chosen littleness.
Exactly.
So if we don't have peace, and most of the times, peace evades me. And the reason why it's evading me in different situations that I have in my life,
mm-hmm.
the reason why the peace is evading me is because I am walking in the illusion of choosing littleness. Because just like you said, there really actually is no choice. There is only love.
Right.
So I'm walking in the illusion that I am choosing littleness, and that's why I don't have peace.
Yeah, you must have decided wrongly.
Yes.
It always goes back to that.
And I hear Corinne in my mind right now saying, like, Holy Spirit, choose for me. Like, look at this choosing it for me. Like, a lot of the times we don't know how to choose. And it's that willingness to say, hey, Spirit, I don't know.
Yeah.
I absolutely do not know. Look at this and choose for me with correct perception.
I love that.
Yeah.
I recently have had an example of this very thing, thinking I know and finding out I don't know at all. I really had this notion that I knew what would be best for me, and I got into a situation where I actually wound up with exactly what I thought I wanted and found out it was a big mistake. A big mistake. And finding my way back out of that was the only way was with the Holy Spirit. Really, the Holy Spirit's guidance. The Holy Spirit's guidance really is the only answer to any of this craziness, you know.
Beautiful.
Interesting.
So grateful.
I love that.
But you know, I mean, then you remember and then you forget and then you think you know and then you find out you don't know, and it just, you know, it just seems to be kind of a. But every time it happens, I learn it on a deeper level, you know, and I'm more willing not to go in that direction and to just try and be here now, you know, be here right now.
And that's beautiful.
Because that's it. This moment is truly the holy instant.
Yeah.
And whenever we go out there, you know, projecting, thinking we know what would be best for us, where we should go, what we should do, we know. No. It just doesn't work.
I was joking with a friend this weekend, actually, about how we were talking about control issues and how, you know, like, we all have an inner control freak. We all just do. And we do. And we were talking about this, and I was, you know, telling her a little bit about my situation, not knowing where I'm going to be living. And what keeps coming to mind is what several intuitive teachers I've been blessed to, you know, be mentored and taught by different wonderful teachers, and it's the prayer is this or something better. So when you're thinking of something that you want, you know, to co-create in your life, and you, like you, Paula, you thought that you really, really wanted this particular situation to show up, and when you got it, you discovered you actually didn't want it.
You didn't want it at all.
So the prayer is, this is my desire or something better. And that way you're never, you know, limiting yourself to one outcome or one scenario. Or I find it really helpful. So.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Okay, I'm going to keep reading. There is a deep responsibility you owe yourself, and one which you must learn to remember all the time. The lesson will seem hard at first, but you will learn to love it when you realize that it is true and constitutes a tribute to your power. You who have sought and found littleness, remember this. Every decision which you make stems from what you think you are and represents the value that you put upon yourself. Believe that the little can control you, and by limiting yourself, you will not be satisfied, for your function is not little, and it is only by finding your function and fulfilling it that you can escape from littleness. There is no doubt about what your function is, for the Holy Spirit knows it. What it is, there is no doubt about its magnitude, for it reaches you through Him from magnitude. You do not have to strive for it, because you have it. All your striving must be directed against littleness, for it does require vigilance to protect your magnitude in this world, to hold your magnitude in perfect awareness in a world of littleness. It is a task the little cannot undertake, yet it is asked of you in tribute to your magnitude and not your littleness, nor is it asked of you alone. And I'll pause there.
It's really challenging to stay and hold, you know, with the Holy Spirit. Because once again, it's that, you know, no, I think I know what I want. That always, you know,
and
if we
don't think we know what we want, I find it's the desire to want to know.
Talk about that.
Talk about it?
Yeah.
Well, just not necessarily a desire, but the wanting to know the how, the when, the why, the, you know, the details of the thing, instead of just trusting however things show up is how they show up. We really get, you know, all worked up about, like with my example, people are asking me, like, when are you going to move? When's your moving date? Where are you moving to? Where's your address? You know, like, are you going to have a roommate? You know, all those kinds of details. We want to know those things instead of being willing to say, okay, God, here I am.
Yeah.
Do with me as you wish. It's like we want these details, and these details and these little things are what anchor us to a body identity.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I'm constantly reminding myself, like, and I do have those moments. I'm not going to lie and sit here and tell you that I'd be, like, perfect and be like, you know, oh, I know the money's, you know, everything's going to work out. But I just constantly have to take it to spirit and be like, okay, God, you're in charge. Like, my life belongs to spirit. I'm not a body. I am free. I am still as God created me. So when something is meant to happen, it's meant to happen. Period, full stop, no question about it. So,
and you know, every one of us have examples, I think,
of
this
absolutely.
Very thing. And what comes to my mind is the last time I got laid off from a job was in the summertime, and I was pretty relaxed because I hadn't had the summer, you know, any time in the summer to myself for a long time. So I just thought, you know, I'm just going to go with this. And I did have this feeling that within 3 months I would have another job. It was almost like a knowing. So I didn't really worry about it. And within 3 months I had another job. And I just trusted. I think trust is really the key here.
Yeah, I can totally relate to what you're saying because in my life right now, like, yes, I'm psychic and intuitive and all of that stuff, but that doesn't mean that I know every detail of everything that's going to, you know, and how it's going to manifest. You're only given what you're meant to know. And so I actually don't know where all of the money is going to come from to pay for all my fees, but I just have this knowing that somehow it's going to show up. I don't have a clue where or how or who or what, but I just have this knowing that it's going to show up and my living quarters is going to show up, even though I can't see it with my eyes right now.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it unfolded. It just unfolded so beautifully. But I had a desire also at that time that I wanted to work close to home. Now, I'm an illustrator, so it's not, you know, the ego would say, well, you've got to go to New York for that. You know, there's nothing like that around you. But I never listened to that. I just wouldn't listen to it. And I was off for 3 months, and I kept looking. Every Sunday, I'd get the paper and look for jobs. And darn if this job for a technical illustrator comes in the paper, it's around the corner from where I live. I've been there for 23 years. And I'll tell you, it hasn't been an easy place to work either. But the way it unfolded, I knew, oh, this is right. This is really, and all the things I really needed to learn about patience and working with people and all of this and allowing the Holy Spirit to show me unfolded and continues to unfold every day that I go there. Because whenever I'm in a pinch, that is the first thing I do is go to the Holy Spirit and say, help me with this, please. And it always works out.
Mm-hmm. Deidre, can I ask a question?
Of course, yeah.
The question I have is in the paragraph, because I've been doing the lessons, and the first sentence says, there is no doubt about what your function is, for the Holy Spirit knows what your function is. And in all the lessons I'm doing, it says that our function is salvation, and our function is forgiveness, that those are our functions.
Mm-hmm.
And it also says further on in the paragraph, it says that to hold your magnitude in perfect awareness in a world of littleness is a task that little is a task the little cannot undertake. And the question I have for you is, how does the function of forgiveness and salvation relate in that context? Because what I'm thinking of, the whole, the big picture, the one focus is salvation and forgiveness, and everything else that happens is in relationship to that, and everything else falls in place in relationship to that. But that is the primary, function.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like you to speak to that point.
Well, what I love about the sentence you brought up about the paragraph where it says, this is your function and it is not for the little, or let me find the, I scrolled down past it already, so I have to find it again. But basically, the way I take that is, Jesus is saying in no uncertain terms, you are not little. So what, you know, what is being discussed in the course is for all of creation, because we are not little. That littleness is a false identity, and it's all about dropping that identity, you know, like loosening ourselves from that learned identity.
Yes.
So
it's about equality.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak on that a little bit further when you said it's about equality?
Meaning, you know, we place these labels on everything. And if you're a doctor and I'm a blue-collar worker, well, then you're more important than I am, because blue-collar worker is obviously beneath a doctor. And if you drive a Lexus and I drive a Ford, well, you're more important than I am because you have a more expensive car than I have. This crap that we've been taught
catches us in the world.
It is by the world is so insane and so upside down.
I agree.
It is so totally insane.
I
was telling Carol, I was at the beach yesterday, and this guy had on a T-shirt that said, "You are in the presence of, you are in the presence of magnificence," and I wanted to go over and say to him, "So are you."
I love that.
We are all in the presence of magnificence here.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we look into another person's eyes, we are looking at magnificence. And it's so sad what we've been taught. And I buy into it every 5 minutes.
So we've been brainwashed.
Totally brainwashed. Totally brainwashed. And when that story starts in my head, it's like, oh, no. Stop it. This is why Corinne is at that silent retreat. This is what she talked about before she went. You know, if you can't quiet that mind, if you can't quiet this monkey mind, and say, I can do it anymore. Not, you know, I have to be relaxed, but I can listen to that and just say, nope, I'm not going there. No,
mm-hmm.
thank you. I'm having a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always to bring the Holy Spirit into it, though. Please help me with this. You know, please help me.
And I think it's important to mention, too, Meg, because you were asking about how it relates to the function of forgiveness. And the Course talks about forgiveness being, number one, we don't do it alone. We do it through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit
is our
helper. And it's the recognition that what we think occurred didn't happen at all. So what we think was done to us, what we think we've done, actually doesn't exist. That's forgiveness in terms of the Course.
I absolutely love that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I was listening to the Course on a CD this afternoon when I was driving home, and it just hit me all of a sudden. It said, you cannot judge. You cannot judge. All judgment is being done by the ego. And it was like,
oh, my, that's wonderful.
Oh, my God. I thought it was me. I thought I was doing it. Isn't that wonderful? And I've heard it before.
Absolutely.
I have heard it before, and I never really heard it before. I know I've heard it before because I, my God, listen to these tapes and read this stuff so much. But it just all of a sudden hit me. Oh, my God, I'm not the one who's doing it.
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
Did everybody see Corinne's Google Hangout with she had a talk a few weeks ago before her retreat with her partner, Craig.
I did listen to some of it.
And she talked about having the recognition that when we have these fear-based thoughts, that the recognition is really clear that the thoughts are not who you are. The thoughts are not your identity. And it goes along with what you were saying, Paula, about how you don't know how to judge.
Yeah.
Because we don't judge. It's the other thing, the other identity, the false identity that judges. God, spirit, angels, the universe is incapable of judging.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Totally.
It is. It's totally awesome.
I know. Beautiful. So I'm going to keep reading here. The power of God will support every effort you make on behalf of his dear son. Search for the little and you deny yourself his power. God is not willing that his son be content with less than everything, for he is not content without his son, and his son cannot be content with less than his father has given him. We asked you once before, would you be hostage to the ego or host to God? Let this question be asked you by the Holy Spirit in you every time you make a decision. For every decision you make does answer this and invites sorrow or joy accordingly. When God gave himself to you in your creation, he established you as host to him forever. He has not left you, and you have not left him. All your attempts to deny his magnitude and make his son hostage to the ego cannot make little whom God has joined with him. Every decision you make is for heaven or for hell, and will bring you awareness of what you decided for. The Holy Spirit can hold your magnitude clean of all littleness, clearly and in perfect safety in your mind, untouched by every little gift the world of littleness would offer you. But for this, you cannot side against him in what he wills for you. And I think I'm going to read this last paragraph too. Decide for God through him, for littleness and the belief that you can be content with littleness are the decisions you have made about yourself. The power and the glory that lie in you from God are for all who, like you, perceive themselves as little and have deceived themselves into believing that littleness can be blown up by them into a sense of magnitude that can content them. Neither give littleness, neither give littleness not accepted. All honor is due the host of God. Your littleness deceives you, but your magnitude is of him who dwells in you and whom you dwell. Touch no one then with littleness in the name of Christ, eternal host, unto his Father. And I'll pause there.
That's just beautiful.
Isn't it?
That's awesome.
I know.
Because you know what I love? It says in that first paragraph, verse 2, it says, every little gift the world of littleness offers you. And it's amazing because I think the little gifts are kind of like lures.
Mm-hmm.
They're obstacles. And we don't see them, I don't think, as little gifts. We see them as pleasures and wonderful things. But they're just little gifts. They're associated with littleness. They're not associated with our magnitude. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that your littleness deceives you, but your magnitude is of him. So we can, if we perceive littleness, we're deceived. That's so amazing because I think most of the time, I find myself content and yearning for and looking after the little joys and the littleness of the pleasures of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And I get sometimes stuck inside that because I don't look at them as littleness. I look at them as, oh, this wonderful thing, this blessing.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm deceived because it's actually littleness. It's not the magnitude of
and
what
it
is
will,
offered.
It will never really content us.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
How often, you know, have I been striving for certain material things, and I get it, and then it's like, oh, well, what's next? That's the ego.
Yeah.
Next.
It's an inside job, not an external one.
Yeah, it really is.
That's what you two were talking about, the ego. You two were referring to that earlier.
Yeah.
It makes me, for some reason, Jesus is coming to mind too, in the fact that, you know, before everything occurred with his ministry, he was just a man, you know, with you know, an identity and investment in being human. And he went off and he made the decision that he was going to take on the ministry. And so what that makes me think of is, if it's possible for a man like Jesus, it's possible for all of us to live the life that the Course is talking about.
Yeah.
It's always one decision away. You know, it's one decision. It's one decision.
And I think everything then falls into place. Just, Paula, like you were saying, the things that came to you was the job that was, like, close to you, but that still represented a challenge. But that was there for you. It's like, once we take on the challenge, we kind of don't have to worry. Like, you let go, you eventually let go of worry. It's like we're freed from worrying, once we've taken the challenge on and we trust. We just put our faith in how the Holy Spirit is leading us.
It used to freak me out when I started studying the course, but now it's there's this relief about this whole idea that everything's already happened. So the decision has already been set. You know, everything that my soul has, you know, decided to take on has already been decided.
So we're kind of like wasting energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And
by worrying and planning rather than just going with the flow.
Yep. We are. The Course says a healed mind doesn't plan. A healed mind does not plan.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That's a good indicator.
Wow.
That's a real
good
indicator.
Wow.
Let's see. Let me rethink.
Oh, man, and I'm planning all the time. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Deidre.
You're welcome. That was another thing that was brought up in Corinne's Google Hangout. It's like even things like grocery lists, it's planning.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, every time we go to the grocery store and we make a list, those are plans that we're making instead of letting things unfold organically.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. So even though to the rest of the world, like by the world's eyes, it looks like I'm crazy right now. Like I'm supposed to be moving to California by October. I don't have a place and I don't have all of the funding in place. And, you know, people are asking me, well, what are you going to do about this? And what are you going to do about that? And I keep saying, well, I just have to play it out the way that it's unfolding, and people are looking.
I get it.
Looking at me like I have two heads.
I get it. I so get it.
And that, you know, like I went to lunch with friends the other day, and they're like, "Aren't you stressed out? Like if I didn't know where I was going and." Where, you know, how it was going to turn out and who was moving me and all of these things, I would be totally freaking out right now. And I have had those moments where I've had thoughts of, like, how is this all going to work out? But I'm just constantly checking in with Spirit and saying, okay,
beautiful.
God, what would you have me do?
Beautiful.
Asking if there's action steps that I need to be taking, and if there's not, I'm not doing anything because the idea that we need to be doing something comes from the false identity, the mind that plans.
Ah, beautiful.
The healed mind is still.
Ah, beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, this Sunday night call is such a blessing because it's a reminder.
Yeah.
You know, and to connect with people of like mind. It helps to support us, you know, in this ability to stay in hold with Spirit.
Yes.
And I totally support you in this, and I want you to know that, Deidre, because I think we need that. I think we need that.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate the support, and I love you all so much. You're my family.
Love you too.
And I know I pray for everyone that's you know, everywhere. I'm just so grateful for this group and for this reminder because, like the Course said, we are not healed alone. We're in this together. And so.
I think we need support though. I really do. I think we need to hear this.
We do.
You know, although I tell you, this book is just so amazing. because I check in every day. I got to check in every day. Because the world is a terrible distraction, it can be.
Oh, right.
We can choose
absolutely.
To be distracted by it, you know.
Oh,
so it's
absolutely.
it's so important, I think, just to, you know, as soon as I get to work in the morning, I get in very early before we actually get started. And I do a workbook every morning because it just starts the day off right. And when I don't do it, things don't always go so well. But the beauty is it doesn't even matter. Just check back in.
Exactly.
You know, just check back in. There's never a time that spirit is not available to us. That to me is, I kind of have a grip on that. I believe that on a much deeper level anymore. Mm-hmm. And the more you connect, the more you believe it, you know, the deeper that gets.
Well, and I find it extremely helpful, even though we might not understand it intellectually, you know, with our intellectual mind, the idea that linear time, things that anchor us in linear time do not exist, is really helpful, because those are just ideas and concepts that lend themselves to the body identity. And so this whole idea that everything happens in perfect time and that God will rearrange time so that whatever's meant to occur does. So all you have to do is be open to receiving that.
And that, to be open to receive that, I think you really need to be peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
You do. And a revelation that has really come to me in studying the Course, what really helps to, you know, maintain that peaceful stillness for longer periods of time is, number one, remove the word ego from your vocabulary, because every time we use that word, it's giving it energy. It's giving it life.
Yeah.
And number two, remove the desire to ask why.
Yeah, the question's always the problem.
Yeah, the question just creates more investing in the illusion.
Yeah.
So if you can be comfortable just not knowing why.
You know, there's a wonderful book that I pull off the shelf occasionally, written by this Buddhist nun, Pema Chodron.
I know her.
Oh, she's wonderful. And it's Becoming Uncomfortable, or Comfortable with Uncertainty.
I love that.
She has quite a few books here. She's Start Where You Are, The Places That Scare You, A Guide to Fearlessness in Difficult Times, and The Wisdom of No Escape, The Path of Loving Kindness. She's got a half a dozen books. She's a Buddhist, and sometimes I don't like to mix, you know, these different ideas with the Course. But her work seems to be very much in alignment, in the sense that it's always, the goal is to be peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting you would say that, because I've been reading and rereading The Disappearance of the Universe by Gary Renard. And he was saying that the Course is more associated with Buddhism than anything else.
It's not associated?
No, more.
Oh.
Was very associated with it.
Okay.
And it's really interesting that you would bring it up, because a lot of the points are similar.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. And also, do you know, she's she's doing an online workshop through Omega Institute. You know, if
now?
You might be interested. I don't know when it starts, but I know I saw something in my email regarding it, that it was an online workshop she was doing. She and another person are facilitating. And it's through the Omega Institute. So if you go into Omega Institute.
Oh, the Omega Institute, yeah.
.org. Yeah. If you go into, I think it's OmegaInstitute.org or eorg
yes.
or something. Yeah. So that's what
where is the Omega Institute? Just
it's in Rhinebeck,
New York.
Upstate. And that's actually where I go for my silent retreat. I do a 7-day silent retreat every year. It's very lovely there. So that's interesting that you would bring up that point about Buddhism. So I just wanted to share that.
I've never been to the Omega Institute. I'm not that far from it. I should put that on my list of things to do.
You absolutely should go. You should get their catalog. And in fact, you don't even have to go for any of the workshops that they offer. You could just go up for a day of relaxation because they have a bookshop there. They have a little beach there. They have a beautiful hermitage there. It's absolutely gorgeous. And then they offer like massages and health and wellness things. And the food is very, very good. So you should check that out.
I
would say yes, that's something. And the grounds are very peaceful and very beautiful. And they have trails. So you might be interested in hiking and things of that sort. But you can get a catalog online. You can just go
to... We have a few minutes left, so I think I'm going to read this one.
I'm sorry, Gigi.
No worries.
I didn't mean to go off point.
No, that's okay. No worries. I'm just going to... we have this beautiful paragraph where it talks about Christmas, so I think it's a great way to end the call. So... in this season, Christmas, which celebrates the birth of holiness into the world, join with me who decided for holiness for you. It is our task together to restore the awareness of magnitude in the host whom God appointed for himself. It is beyond all your littleness to give the gift of God, but not beyond you. For God would give himself through you. He reaches from you to everyone and beyond everyone to his son's creations, but without leaving you far beyond your little world, but still in you. He extends forever, yet he brings all his extensions to you as host to him.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. So we never have to worry about being left or being separate. It's just a false idea that we are letting go of. We are spirit, and it's already been decided for us that the holiness of God is for us, and it's in us.
Thank you so much, Deidre. This is
You're
so
welcome.
Wonderful.
Thank you, guys. I
love
you
all. Wonderful call. Wonderful call.
Yeah. Thank you.
I love you both.
Love you too.
Good night.
Everyone.
Have a good
night.
Week.
Enjoy your week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.